Genesis chapter 39, starting in verse 19. Genesis 39, verse 19, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Chapter 40, verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth with two of his officers against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in the ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man in his dream, in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth. And the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. And I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee into thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was all of all manner of bakements for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lift up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler into his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgat him." I want to take this passage plus a few more and talk to you on this subject, doing right even when it's hard. Doing right even when it's hard. Let's go ahead and ask the Lord's blessing on the night's message. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. And Lord, we need to hear from you. We need to hear from your word. Just take this message. Help it to come out right. Help the thoughts and the words to be what you would have. Hide me behind the cross tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. In Genesis chapter 37, you have the beginning of the tales of Joseph's story. And there's many different things that happened to Joseph, just in what we read, but in just chapter 37, there's 6 things, at least 6 things that happened to Joseph. And you look at Joseph and you can't really find anything that is negative or said negative in the Bible about Joseph. And I'm not saying he was a perfect person, but oftentimes preachers refer to Joseph as a type of Christ. Not that he was like Christ, but just symbolic in his actions and in things that he did to that of Christ in his ministry. But when you look in chapter 37, there is a lot of things that happened to Joseph. And I just wrote down a few of them. In Genesis 37, 4, 5, and 8, it stated that his brothers hated him. Now these are his family members. Family is supposed to love each other. And yet his relationship with his brothers is one of turmoil. They hated him. His mother is dead. His father babies him. His father just loves him, but that's about all he's got. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 11, his brothers envied him. In verse 18, his brothers conspired to kill him. In verse 23, his brothers robbed him. You remember when they grabbed him and they ripped him of that coat of many colors and they took it from him. His brothers threw him in the pit in verse 24. And in 27 and 28, his brothers sold him to the Ishmaelites, who then sold him into slavery in Egypt. So all these things happened to Joseph. And you think, how can a guy of just what we read in chapter 39 and chapter 40 keep doing what is right when everything in his past has only been evil to him? And how can a guy do that? Well, in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 4, the Bible says, "Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. Who is able to stand before envy?" And the blunt truth is nobody can stand before envy. And if you look at Joseph's life, that is exactly what happened to him. His brother, you know how an envious person starts out with, right? They start out mostly with pride and then the tongue. If you look at Joseph's brothers, they were very proud people, and they couldn't stand the fact that Joseph got more attention in their daddy's eyes than they did. They just couldn't do it. And so what did they begin to do? They begin to talk back and forth. They began to what we would call murmur or whisper or talk back, backbiting, things that should have no place in a church house, let alone a family's house. Okay? But this is what usually happens with envious people. They start by being prideful. And the Bible has a lot to say about the proud person. But anyway, that's really not part of it, of the message, but I just wanted to throw that in here. If you look at Joseph's life, when he looked back at his life, he could see that his life was full of people hating him and how he must have been disappointed throughout his life. I mean, you look back and there's not really many positive things happening to him until later on in Genesis, when he starts saving the nation, when he has that opportunity. But you look back and you think, how did Joseph keep from becoming disappointed? Well, he remained faithful to God. Joseph understood that God was faithful when everybody else had sold him, turned their back on him, forgot him, thought he was dead. God was faithful to him. In Genesis chapter 39, verse 2, the Bible says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man." Verse 21, "But the Lord was with Joseph." And in verse 23, "The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his head, because the Lord was with him." All through the Bible, all through Joseph's story, you find that not many people stood with Joseph. You find that as far as the human friendship, Joseph didn't have it. Not that he didn't want it. It just wasn't available to him. But God was with him. The Bible says that there's not a friend that sticketh closer. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And how true that is. Often we want human companionship. But if you dig deep and if you get into your Bible and if you find that Jesus can fill your cup and he is all you need, not that that takes away everything, not that it makes your situation sunnier, not that it makes everything go away, but you can find that God is faithful and with you through some of the darkest times in your life. Here we come to Genesis chapter 39. Verse 19, and we see a trade-off in Joseph's life. Something bad has just happened to Joseph. As you know, earlier in Genesis chapter 39, Potiphar's wife comes to him and entices him to sin with her. And Joseph, we know that he said no day after day, and day after day she would entice him, and he just kept saying no. And then she falsely accuses him. She frames him as if he had sinned and done this terrible act. How hard would that be in your life? Somebody frames you, and Potiphar, your master, who you have tried to serve faithfully, has a dilemma. Either he believes you, you're the slave, or he believes his wife. He's got a pretty big dilemma. But you see here that Joseph, number one, was right in his actions. He was right in his actions. When you look at the trade-off, if you go back to Genesis chapter 39, the first, let's go to verse 3 through 6, you see how Joseph treated his employer or his master. Okay, verse 3, the Bible says, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him." There it is again, that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. "And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put in his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake." Not anything that Potiphar did, but because Joseph was there serving God, being faithful to God, God blessed his house. It's amazing who gets blessed when somebody's just living for God, isn't it? All right. "For Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field." Whatever Joseph did, wherever he went, everything was blessed because Joseph was right with God. Verse 6, "And he," that's Potiphar, "left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." That speaks a lot. That speaks volumes to Potiphar. Potiphar didn't even know how much he was worth. Usually, people are concerned about how much they're worth, right? Just not because they're worried or frantic about it, but they're planning. They're trying to figure out, pay the bills this week, make sure there's food on the table, make sure all these different things. And Potiphar doesn't even know his financial status. He's left that up to a slave. Why? Because don't mess with a good thing. God is blessing Joseph, and God is blessing everything he touches, and therefore it's blessing Potiphar. And he does all these things, and he doesn't even know. The only thing he knows is that there's food when it's time to eat in front of him. That's what the Bible just said. So you see exactly how that Joseph was serving Potiphar. Then this false accusation, this framework that happened to Joseph takes place. How does Joseph serve the prison? If you the master of the prison. If you look in verse 20, "And Joseph's master took him, put him into the prison, a place where the king's daughters were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand." So here again, the same scenario. Potiphar didn't know what his financial status was, except that he had bread to eat. Okay, that, and he had food on his table. The keeper of the king's prisoners, those folks, those politicians that Pharaoh got, that Pharaoh wanted to detain for a while. It was a separate prison than what the common prisoners were in. This was the king's prisoners. He went there. Okay, that's where Joseph went. The keeper of the prison didn't even know what was happening inside the jailhouse because Joseph had favor with God. You see, and it's so easy. It would be so easy for Joseph to look back once he got to prison and think, "I served Potiphar so well. I did everything that he wanted. I did everything that he asked of me. I was living for God. And now I'm in the prison house." And he said, he might have been tempted. I don't know. But for me, I would think, well, look where I'm at. It could have been so easy to throw in the towel. Just say, "I'm done. Let somebody else live for God. Let somebody else pick up the torch. I tried it and I went backwards. Now I'm really going backwards. It's just not working. Okay, I was a slave. Now I'm a slave that's a prisoner in a foreign country and that speaks a foreign language. There's no coming forward in this relationship, God. What are you doing to me?" But he didn't do that. He was faithful. He did right in his actions. Number two, Joseph was right in his attitude. You look in verse 6. of chapter 40. Two more prisoners come to the prison house from the king's palace. They were the king's chief butler and the chief baker. And these two people had dreams. And if you look in the language, you see here that Joseph was a kind-hearted person. Joseph was a person of character. He lost his coat, but he kept his character in the situation of Potiphar's wife. And two more prisoners come to the scene, and it's the baker and it's the butler. And both of these guys in the same night have a dream. And we read through the dream. I'm not going to reread it. But if you look there, they come. Joseph comes to the prison house and he sees that they're sad. He sees that they're sad and he asks them what's wrong. And they begin to tell him. They had a couple dreams. And could you imagine Joseph's attitude? Now you got to get excited about the Bible here. Okay. Hang with me and we'll make this work. Okay. Joseph is now in the spot of interpreting dreams for the butler and the baker. You remember the last time he interpreted dreams? It was with his brothers, right? How'd that work out? He got sold into slavery. The brothers went home to their daddy Jacob and said, some wild beast got your son. I mean, it had to happen. Look at his coat. Is this his coat? Is this the one that you made? Him and not everybody else. And they're showing him. And Joseph, you gotta get with this. Joseph is thinking, the last time I interpreted dreams, look where it got me. And now, two people from Pharaoh's palace want me to interpret dreams? Nope, not happening. That's what I would say. Okay? You know, I was already burnt once. I'm not even going here again. That's just my flesh. Say it, you know. Man, at least at the very minute, if I didn't want to help, I would be biting my tongue. Can you imagine how do you tell a guy that has connections in the palace that he's going to die in 3 days? Right? Now remember, Joseph is in charge of the prison. The keeper doesn't even know what's going on. Joseph tells the baker that he's going to die. And he's got 3 days. Now, perhaps the baker didn't believe him. But if I was Joseph, I'd be sleeping with one eye open, right? I just told this guy he is going to die. He's either one, going to try and kill me. Or two, he's going to try and escape. I mean, if I was the butler, that's what I would do. If I believed Joseph. And so he kindly tells them the dreams. You see the attitude that Joseph has? All these bad things are happening to him, but yet he does not compromise his attitude from being positive to negative. If you have a bad attitude, you are not right spiritually. You say, my bad attitude only affects me. No, it doesn't. It affects everybody around you. If Joseph had a bad attitude, that happy prison place wouldn't have been happy. It wouldn't have been peaceful. If Joseph had a bad attitude, the keeper of the prison could not have, in good conscience, turned the keys, so to speak, turned the responsibility of the prison house over to Joseph. If Joseph had come in a bitter person, if Joseph would have come in saying, I can't believe this. I was wrongfully accused of something that I wouldn't even think about, let alone doing. And he would just have a bad attitude. And the keeper of the prison said, oh, brother, another one of these people. But he didn't do that. Throughout Joseph's life and the circumstances that happened to him, he maintained a right attitude with his surroundings. Teenagers, how easy is it, and adults, how easy is it to have a bad attitude at the flip of a coin when something just does not go your way? And it might be something so minute. Can you imagine being in Joseph's shoes? Now, Joseph, when he first went to Egypt, is a teenager. He's not an experienced Christian. He's not a Christian that's been around 50 years and have seen all these things. He is going through the fire right now. He is walking with God in a hostile environment, and he keeps his attitude. Number one, Joseph did right in his actions. He did right in his attitude. But if you go to chapter 41, there's something else that Joseph did right in. Genesis chapter 41, verse 14. Now, I think the one of the saddest words in the Bible, there's many of them, but for Joseph, is when the butler forgot Joseph. Joseph did all those things for him, and he just forgot. Verse 1, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. Can you imagine 6 months into... Now, Joseph told him in verse 14 of chapter 40, make sure when you are restored to Pharaoh, make sure when he's well with you, when the atmosphere is pleasant, bring my name up. Okay? Now, Joseph knows exactly what's going to happen. Joseph knows that Pharaoh is going to restore the chief butler to his previous job. Can you imagine Joseph after 6 months thinking, to be sure, he's friendly again with the king. To be sure, after a year, he's got to be thinking, I would be thinking, I'm in prison for something I didn't even do. After 2 years, Joseph's in there another 2 years. Pharaoh has a dream. And Pharaoh's magicians and Pharaoh's captains, they could not interpret Pharaoh's dream. If you look at verse 9 in chapter 41, the Bible says, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Well, it's about time, right? And you look, and Pharaoh says in verse 10, Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the chief's guard, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, and I and he, and we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. We told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dreams he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was, me he restored unto my office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came into Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. Number one, Joseph was right in his actions. Number two, he was right in his attitude. Number three, Joseph was right in his appearance. You look at in chapter 41, these guys, Pharaoh has a dream. And the nobody could interpret Pharaoh's dream. Very sticky spot when those that are being paid to serve the king fail their job. I mean, prison was an easy one, but he could just easily lop your head off just because you couldn't do your job. And Pharaoh is getting very hostile. He is not liking the results because he's not getting any results. And the butler remembers something. He says, I remember my faults this day. You put me in prison a couple years ago and with somebody else. And there was this young Hebrew that interpreted our dreams and it came true. And what happened? They hastily, the Bible says, run to the prison and get Joseph out. Now, if you look at that verse, several things happen. They go and get Joseph, and Joseph himself does some things. Look at it. He changed and he shaves. He makes himself presentable. I don't think, this is just me, I don't think the people that are going to get Joseph said, hey buddy, make sure that you change and here's a garment, run, put these things on while we're taking you to the palace. Now normally, for kings, for anybody who comes before a king, you would have to be dressed proper, you would have to be presentable, you would have to be polished. But Pharaoh he's not in the mood for polish, he's in the mood for answers. If Pharaoh wants to know the interpretation of these troubling dreams, nobody else can give him the interpretation of this dream, and this butler says, well, this guy could do it. And they go in, they get Joseph. And Joseph, who's been doing right in his actions, who's been doing right in his attitudes, knows he's going before the king. He says, wait, fellas, stop. I got to get cleaned up. He changes and he shaves. That tells you several things, but it tells you that the way that he was being kept in prison wasn't very clean. He wasn't used to bathing regularly. He wasn't used to the fine things. I mean, he's in prison. Yes, it's Pharaoh's prison for his politicians and whoever he wants to put in there. But the atmosphere still, I mean, prison's prison. You can't go out and freely do what you want to do. And Joseph knows he's going before the king. Now this is powerful. He's going before an ungodly king to hear a dream that Joseph knows only God can interpret. And that's exactly what he tells the king. The king, he comes before the king. He's all proper now. And no doubt the king is just, where is this guy? You know? And he gets there and he's standing there and Joseph tells the king, only God can interpret your dreams. I wonder, Joseph was so careful to make himself presentable before King Pharaoh, who wasn't in the mood for presentability. How conscious are we of our appearance before our God, before our King? I mean, how much time do we take to make ourselves presentable? Now, you can apply this to the outward, and that's great. We have standards at the church, and those are good, and I'm not talking about the outward as far as the clothing, okay? But when it comes to the inside, how much preparation do we take to come before our King? Do we come to God in prayer, dragging our baggage with us, saying, God, I need you to interpret my dream. I've got a problem and I understand only you can help me. You know? And yet you've got unconfessed sin in your life that you need to change, you need to shave off, you need to get rid of before you ever start and before I ever start to say, now God, this is my problem. You see it in there? He takes special attention to his appearance. How much do we pay attention to our appearance? You know, a lot of people only are going to see Jesus through us, the outside world. And they know how a Christian should dress. They understand that there is a difference between them and us. And Joseph shows us here, he's going to get it right. How often do we get it right? In the outward, more importantly, coming before our King, in the inward. Before we go to God and say, God, I've got a problem. I've got a situation. I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know how to do it. I don't know where to begin. I don't know where to start. But God, I know you know what's best in my life. And before you bring your petitions before God, we need to do a soul search to make sure that our coming before God doesn't fall on deaf ears because of our sin. You know, God's not going to hear your prayers. God's not going to hear my prayers and answer my prayers if there's sin in our life. Joseph shows us this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You say, doing right, even when it's hard, is hard. It is. Joseph shows us this in his life. He lived it for many, many years, going through things that most of us won't even experience half of what he experienced. But how could he do this? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You see, Joseph's God was faithful to him, and he was faithful to him because Joseph was faithful to his God. Yes, Joseph was faithful to his dad, and Joseph was faithful to Potiphar, and Joseph was faithful to the keeper of the prison, and yes, Joseph was faithful to even the king of Egypt. But before that, Joseph was faithful to God. You say, doing right and when things go wrong, that's hard. How do I do that? By being faithful. If Joseph could walk with God with character in a hostile environment, why can't we walk with God with character and love for those around us, even when folks do us wrong? We can do that by having right actions, by having a right attitude, and by having the right appearance outward and inward to make sure that what's in our lives is pure before God. It's not our job to fix everybody. It wasn't Joseph's job to fix all his circumstances. Can you imagine when Joseph became second in command of Egypt and he remembered that butler? It's payback time, right? He didn't do that. He could have if he was still alive, but it wasn't about that. Joseph wasn't out to settle the scoreboard, to make sure that everything that had been done wrong to him. In Genesis chapter 50, his brothers come to him and Jacob just died. And in Genesis chapter 50, it says a verse, and I want to make sure I get it right. Joseph says in verse 20, in verse 19, we'll start there. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it was in this day, to save much people alive." See, all those other folks meant all that harm for Joseph's evil. But what was actually happening was God was making and molding Joseph to who he wanted him to be, to get to the finished product, and God was using all those people, all those tests in Joseph's life to now, after all these years, lift Joseph up so that Joseph could then turn around and serve God. See, how do you keep going when bad things happen? How do you do right when it's hard? You remain faithful to God. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for this message. Thank you for Joseph. Thank you for